Thankful for our praise team over here and our praise band over in the Family Life Center in our contemporary service. Welcome today. I'm so glad you've chosen to worship with us in person. And then we welcome those who are also on our live stream. And then we always like to give a round of applause for our international audiences. We have people in 30 countries that are listening to us from Silver Creek. So let's give them a Silver Creek welcome, okay? That's good. Today I want to talk to you about giving thanks for our overabundance. Everybody here has plans for Thanksgiving. Our tradition is to go to Marietta, Georgia. Delaine has a 95-year-old uncle there. It's her last uncle. Last Tuesday, he drove over here from Marietta so we could take him to Stanley's to lunch. And so we'll be meeting, there'll be about seven of us at their house, and we just look forward to that. Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 6. In just a moment, I'll be reading from John chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 5 through 13. If you love to read Christian books, I hope you're a fan of Max Lucado. He's written a fantastic book entitled, You're Gonna Get Through This. In that book, he shares a story about when he and his wife, Dina Lynn, lived in El Salvador. They said they lived in a huge high-rise apartment. Said it was not a very clean place where they're living. Excuse me, that was Rio de Janeiro. And said it wasn't a very clean place where they lived. And so they had some friends named Paul and Debbie that lived on the outskirts of town in a beautiful house. And they had a nice pool. He said it was cooler out there and we just enjoyed their fellowship. Said our two-year-old daughter, Jenna, loved to play with their children. So one day we were invited out to Debbie and Paul's. We made the Ira journey. Went out there. We all enjoying being around the pool. Then Debbie said, dinner's ready. So the adults left the children at the pool, went inside, and they were filling their plates. About that time, Debbie and Paul's four-year-old daughter came running in the house. And very calmly, she said, Jenna fell in the pool. We dropped our plates and went rushing out. And Jenna did not have on her floaties. She did not know how to swim. She was drowning in the middle of the pool. Paul jumped in, raised her up, and got her over to Max. After about 5 minutes of coughing and spitting up water and things, she began to laugh. And Jenna was fine. He said the two families, we got together with the children and joined hands and gave thanks for sparing the life of our child. He said on the way back to their Rio de Janeiro apartment that day, he said, I couldn't get my eyes off my rearview mirror. I could see Jenna asleep in her safety seat. And I'd give thanks over and over, but he said, in my mind, there was one question. If Jenna had drowned that day, would I still think that God is good all the time? I've seen some people in crisis similar to that. Results did not come out as well, and they've wrestled with whether God is really good. Well, what is the common theme for Thanksgiving? Well, we're thanking God for our blessings. He's our source. We're thanking God for our family and our friends. But what is a common thread throughout every Thanksgiving dinner? It's a thing called leftovers. I'm a guy that doesn't mind eating leftovers. When I was just a kid, and my parents would take us out to my mother's parents. If we were staying all day, we'd have a big lunch. Then my grandmother and my aunts and my mom would clean up the dishes. But if we were staying for supper, they left all the food on the table and took a bed sheet and put it over all the food until we were ready to snack and go back home. I don't know how we lived. Botulism, something should have killed us back then. But what I want to share with you today is God meets our needs out of His abundance. But He also gives us overflowing blessings, and then He blesses us with the leftovers. First of all, thank God for the abundance and the leftovers. And you go to John chapter 5, very familiar, John chapter 6, verse 5, very familiar passage of Scripture. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. They sat down, about 5,000 men were there. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves and the leftovers by those who had eaten. Now, this is very, very familiar. It says that Jesus fed 5,000. You know, when you do your little biblical background study here, you'll find that they only counted the males in the crowd. They did not count the women nor the children. So Bible scholars believe what He actually fed was up to 10 to 12,000 people in one single day. Now, get the picture here. He had the equivalent there with that little boy's lunch of 5 Ritz crackers and 2 sardines or minnows, whatever you want to call it. That's all he had there. And so he begins to ask the disciples, what do you think we can do here? But Jesus already had a plan. Now notice here, not only did they have enough to eat, but there are 12 baskets left over. Now what this was a visual aid for the 12 disciples. You didn't have much faith, and now I've given enough leftovers so each one of the 12 could have a microwave lunch the next week. Our God, listen, is a God of leftovers. What I mean by that is He's a God of abundance and generosity. God doesn't just provide us what we need. He doesn't give us the bare minimum requirements so that we can get by. God gives us what we need and then some. Just think about food. We need protein. We need carbs. We love sugar unless we're diabetics. You might still love it then. And then we have to have liquid. Have you noticed the different kind of meats that the Lord has given us? He's given us steak, chicken, fish, lamb, and on it goes. But then think about this. When He gives us steak, He gives us tenderloin, ribeyes, T-bones, flank steak, sirloin steak, and on it goes. And then when I go to the store, you can buy a range chicken or you can buy a pen-raised chicken. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Back years ago, my dad wanted to come to Warrington where we were serving to Court Square Restaurant. His two sisters, my aunts, came to Courthouse Restaurant there, Court Square, to meet Dad and me and Delaine. And there was a man named Robert that ran that country restaurant, served everything where he served your plates, and there was a plexiglass there. And I'll never forget when one of my aunts went through the line, she said, "I believe I'll have a chicken leg." He said, "A left or a right one?" And she said, "I'm from the country. I didn't know there was a difference." He said, "The right ones are a lot more tender than the left ones." She said, "Well, I've never heard of that. I'll have a right one." And I remember one aunt went back to the other one and said, "I don't think that boy's right. I think he's got some problems." But I want you to know, the Lord even gave us a left chicken leg and a right chicken leg. He's given us variety. When you think about fish, you know, when I go to a restaurant and they say they're serving me white fish, I'm not sure exactly what that is. You got catfish, brim, bass, snapper. And it goes on and on. God has given us variety. Why in the world you think there's 14 different chef shows on television? It's because He's given us variety. You can quench your thirst with water, Powerade, Gatorade, and on, and Coca-Cola, whatever you want, it goes on and on. So God not only gives us food, He gives us variety. Now think about this. Suppose every day all God had ever given us was chicken, Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and apple pie. Suppose that was the only foods in the whole wide world. We wouldn't know the difference. But no, God decided to give out of His abundance all the way to the leftovers so that we have variety to get all the nourishment that we need. Now, the second thing I want you to do is thank God for His abundant grace and the leftovers. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Grace means gift. It's a gift that's unmerited. It's something that's unearned. It's treating us better than we ever deserve. Now notice this very carefully. God is not stingy with His grace. It's like He has a big, huge bucket, and He just baptizes us with His grace. He's generous. Listen to me carefully. If you've been saved, you haven't barely been saved. I want you to know that by God's grace, you are truly saved, saturated and covered by the grace of God. We like to talk about saving grace. We like to talk about sustaining grace. But what about protecting grace? How many times have you been driving down the highway and there's somebody oncoming and they have their dog up on their arms while they're driving their automobile? Do you see that? How many times have you been to the gas station and you're pumping gasoline and you look over here and there's some dude smoking a cigarette while he's pumping gasoline, and there's signs everywhere that says explosive? And you know, I want to go over and say, look, you need to put that out, but you know, it might blow while I'm there. So I pump quickly, and I don't want to happen with them. You understand what I'm talking about? In the last 5 weeks, in fact, yesterday I had two instances like this. I've had six different people run stop signs and pull out in front of me. I mean, barely slow down and just cut out in front of you, turn left or right or whatever they're doing. I want you to know that God gives us protecting grace. Proverbs 14:16, listen to this. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Now let me ask you this question. As the Lord watches over everybody, let me ask you this. How many times is He appalled at things that we do? Sometimes we take chances and risks we shouldn't be taking. Sometimes we're around people that are very, very careless. But I want you to know that God, listen, He has an abundance of protecting grace that He surrounds us with. I don't know who decided to put the word amazing by grace, but that is the perfect adjective to be there. We see here, with mountains and mountains of human sin and foolishness dropped at His feet every single day, God just keeps on loving. He keeps on forgiving. And you know, when you think about it, how long is God going to be patient with the United States, where over half of our nation has turned their backs to God and His Word? And then thank God, out of His abundance, He offers out of an overflow with family. Matthew 12, 48 through 50, Jesus replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to His disciples. He said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother. Now, Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks to the Lord for abundant blessings, but it's also about family getting together. What's Christmas all about? The birth of the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But it's also about family getting together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's quite stressful sometimes, is it not? You know, the problem is we all have dysfunctional families. We just don't like to admit that. There's some people, when they're in your house as a guest or you're at your parents' house, and, you know, maybe it's your sister-in-law, there's always somebody that causes a little stress, and you have to kind of tiptoe around them. And you pray, dear God, now just help me to have patience to get around this thorn in the flesh till we can get through exchanging gifts and having Christmas dinner this year. I remember one of our traditions at our home was I had an uncle who never married. He worked for J.P. Stevens. Some of you remember that mill. And he stayed at home, took care of my daddy's mother, till she died. And Uncle Wayne didn't have much, but he was our favorite uncle. And he'd always show up at 10 a.m. on Christmas morning. He drove 50 miles. He'd get there at 10 o'clock. I think he left at 6 a.m. He never drove over 35 miles an hour. And so he would come in, and our gift every Christmas was $2 per child. But see, you don't understand that was a sacrifice for him. We always bought him gifts. He loved my mother's cooking. But I do remember this one time when I thought I just wish he hadn't showed up. We were sitting at the dinner table there for Christmas, and Mom had gone to get some more food out of the kitchen. We were in the formal dining room, and nobody was saying anything. And out of the blue, he looked up and he said, Phil, do you know you married way, way, way yonder above yourself? I said, yes, it's the best con job I ever did. And I just wish he hadn't come that year. But he was just our favorite. And, you know, you just love family members. Sometimes we're the problem. Sometimes we're not easy to get along. Sometimes you've got other sandpaper family members that cause stress at Christmas and at Thanksgiving. But then, aren't you thankful for the people that are like family, that are non-biological? Dad worked for Southern Bell, Bell South, AT&T, and they were in a long strike. Dad was trying to feed 4 miles, 3 kids and his wife. A man named Ware Norris gave my dad a job at a sawmill. Bell South and the employees could not get together on a contract, so he was out of work for a long, long time. Dad went to the sawmill every day. That's the way he fed his family. But I want you to know, when the phone company came into an agreement with the employees, he took his old job back. But I want you to know, Mom and Dad never forgot Ware and Betty Norris. Growing up, they were like my uncle and aunt. Betty was always an inspiration. She was a victim of polio. She was 4 feet, 10 inches tall. She had 2 steel crutches and 2 braces, one on each leg. And she could shuffle around just like this. She put 2 pillows in the driver's seat in her car, and she'd drive herself everywhere she went. And there was a company called Olin Plunkett Heating and Air Conditioning, a local very successful company in our town, and she was the personal administrative assistant for Mr. Plunkett for 45 years. Every year between Christmas and New Year's, Mom had them over. Dad never forgot what Ware Norris did for him. But I want you to know, I remember the last time I saw Mr. Norris. Delaney and I were home from Fort Worth, Texas, from seminary. We were there in Augusta. It was between Christmas and New Year's, and there was Ware and Betty Norris when we drove up. We had a ball talking to them. Well, that night we had to leave early, and Ware's car was behind me in the driveway, so he had to move his car. I remember exactly where I was standing in the driveway, and I said, Ware, we look forward to seeing you next year. He looked up, he said, Brother Phil, you never know what God has in store for us in the new year. Well, that was encouraging. Mom called me from Augusta in February of the next year. She said, "Phil, I've got some bad news for you." She said, "We had snow," and that's odd in Augusta. And Ware was shoveling out his driveway so he could go to work, and he dropped dead right there in the driveway. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, I'll always, always, always be thankful for that couple, non-biological, but they were like our relatives. Lord, thank you for the abundance of family and the leftovers, friends who are like family. And then thank God for the abundance and overflowing power. Now you want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do," I love this, "immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." You think about this when you pray, you ask for something, and the Lord's telling you, "Now look, this is what you're asking for, but I can do immeasurably more than you can ever fathom if you'll just have the faith to trust me. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now the contents of this prayer is also about the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that we're baptized with simultaneous with our conversion. Look at this passage. Three times in six verses. Watch this. The Lord mentions power. Look at verse 16 in chapter 3. "I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power." God has been generous and abundant by indwelling us with the Holy Spirit power. People say, "Well, I just have a hard time living the Christian life." Listen, you got to be surrendered every single day. You got to be spirit filled. You got to be spirit empowered. I was talking to somebody the other day, a salesman who just sold a brand new black Corvette. It was sold out of Rome, Georgia, to a man who's in the seafood business in California. I took Delane up to the dealership because I wanted her to see it before it was shipped to California. Y'all ready for this? Counting, shipping, and all, this is a mid-engine Corvette, black, with all these racing stripes down it. Had a sign on it that said, "Keep your hands off. Don't sit in this car." I wanted to sit in that car so bad I didn't know what to do. $122,000. Have mercy. That boy must have married well. That's all I could figure. And that guy told me that that car had 750 horsepower. What you gonna do with that? But can you imagine just cranking that baby up and just getting out here on 411 and looking left and right and up and back and checking your radar and see how quick you could get to Cartersville? That's all I'd want to do. That's all I want to do. My insurance man over here, he's right here. He's got a chip in all my cars now. He said, "It doesn't measure your speed till you hit 80 miles an hour. Don't do that. Don't do that. When I hit 80 miles an hour, I say, Terry, turn it off. Turn it off." But anyway, but can you imagine when that man got that car, he said, "Wow, this is a beautiful car. I think I'll just get behind it and push it everywhere." That wouldn't make a lot of sense, would it? It's the same way for a Christian. When we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be used by the Lord, there's no sense in running around with poor self-image. There's no sense going around feeling all this guilt. Our sins are under the blood. Our salvation is not a license to sin. But I want you to know he can do exceedingly abundantly more through our lives if we'll just trust in the power of that indwells us. And then the last thing I want to share with you this morning is very quick. Thank God for the abundance of vision and overflowing comfort. Thank God for the overflowing vision and comfort and abundance that he gives us. Now, I refer to 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. You remember Elisha and his servants were surrounded by a hostile army, and Elisha had been praying. And here's the response he got. We're outnumbered here. Lord says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open my servant's eyes so he can see. And then his servants could see what? Chariots of fire surrounding the enemy. You see, God can give us vision, and he gives us abundance in that vision. You say, well, you keep talking about this abundance in the Christian life and all these blessings. I just don't sense my life being exactly like that. The truth is, you get what you're looking for. We've got to have faith to trust the Lord with our futures and with our lives and during the difficult and challenging circumstances. But it's also a fact that God is in each of us, each of our lives, helping us, blessing us every step of the way. We just have to adjust our perspective and look through the eyes of faith. December the 7th is what? Pearl Harbor Day. Never forget. Now listen to me carefully. 1941, Admiral Chester Nimitz was attending a concert. He got a message to come from his seat to go to the telephone. He had a call from the President of the United States, and back then, you'll remember that was President Roosevelt. Now, Admiral Nimitz was summoned by the President. He said, we've been attacked. Pacific Fleet is on the bottom of the ocean. He said, I'm putting you in charge to rebuild and reestablish the Pacific Fleet. I want you there on Christmas Eve. So on Christmas Eve, 1941, Nimitz flew to Pearl Harbor. When he got there, there was a small boat waiting on him and a helmsman. He said, we want to take you on a tour of what's going on here. That tour took quite a while. When they finished the tour, the helmsman looked at Nimitz, and here's what he said. He said, Admiral Nimitz, what do you think about this? He said, well, either the Japanese made one of the biggest attack mistakes that's ever been made, or God was looking out for America. Helmsman said, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, three mistakes. He said, number one, he said the Japanese attacked on a Sunday morning. He said, we have 38,000 men assigned to these ships. But all of them were on shore leave except for 3,800. 3,800 died. One's too many. But 38,000 of our men could have been killed today, and they weren't. That's because they attacked on Sunday. So the next thing I want you to see is when they came in with those planes on their suicide missions, they were so revved up about seeing all those ships lined up in rows. They were concerned about sinking all the ships. He said the thing they didn't destroy was our docks and all our repair equipment. He said all of these ships are sunk in shallow water. He said it'll just take one tugboat to pull them up to our docks so they can be repaired. But if they would have destroyed our docks and our repair equipment, all of these ships would have to be towed from Pearl Harbor to the mainland of America to be fixed. He says, I've got men on the shore right now waiting to repair these ships. He said, the third thing I want to tell you, the big mistake they made, he said, 5 miles from here on a hill, all the fuel is stored for the entire Pacific fleet. He said, if just one of those bombers would have gone up there, he could have destroyed all the fuel for our defense on this coast. But they didn't do it. And he looked at the helmsman and he says, well, let me ask you a question. Everybody's all defeated and dejected and depressed, and this is a tragedy right here. But do you think the Japanese made a mistake, or God was looking out for America? Thank God for his blessings. But when you're thanking God for blessings, don't forget the leftovers that he showers on us. Would you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Very simple message, just looking at what you do for us from a little different perspective. Because we ask and you give, we thank, but sometimes we don't study what you've given and see that it's been exceedingly abundantly more than we ask. Even when we're in a crisis situation, when we walk with you and we come to the other side of that crisis, you can use us to have a ministry to other people who are now going through a like crisis we just experienced, because we realize you don't waste anything, even the leftovers. Thank you for blessing us individually and families. Thank you for blessing the Pleasant Valley South family in a little place called Silver Creek, able to touch people locally, nationally, and around the world. We don't take that lightly. And as we move towards Thursday, help us to unashamedly give thanks to you, the source of every blessing. If you're here today, or you're listening online, or by video, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, all you need to do is confess that you're a sinner, not to me, but to Christ. He lived a sinless life, died on the cross, gave his life to purchase your free gift of salvation. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? If you make that decision, if you just go to the welcome desk, the connect desk, and the other building, and let one of our staff members meet with you. Maybe you're here today, you've already been saved, need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. I ask you go to the welcome desk or to the connect desk of the Family Life Center. Maybe you're a person here that's been coming a while, and God's placed it on your heart that you're to invest your spiritual gifts here in this fellowship. I invite you to go to the desk at Welcome Center or Connect Desk in the Family Life Center after this service, and let a staff member meet with you. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you during this, the most important time in our service, when you're doing work and people are responding in their hearts, as your Holy Spirit applies this message to each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're listening by video or by stream, if you'll call us at 706-234-1841. One of our staff members will get back with you right away. Well, Ted's coming forward with the praise band and the Family Life Center. Mark and Miriam are ready to lead us. Consider your chair, your altar before God, as you make whatever decision he's calling you to make.